Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Alder from AB Motorsports, and you're listening to the Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the April 13th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 105 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, we'll be reviewing this past weekend of racing and chat a little bit about whatever exciting news in the world of modern motorsports pops up into the conversation. This is going to be a little bit shorter program as we do not have a guest scheduled for this week, the Easter holiday being the primary reason. This past weekend was an incredibly busy one in the world of modern motorsports. The only event that I actually went to this weekend was the Trans Am event there at the Homestead Miami Speedway. It was a great event. There were tons of competitors there. But unfortunately, there was not a lot of fans, and that's not exactly a good thing for the Trans Am series, but I've been told it's pretty much on par for what they've been doing lately. I'd assume that at the largest amount, there were probably 1,000 fans there, although I'm pretty sure there were less than that. As I stated, it was an excellent day there at the Homestead Miami Speedway. They did have activity both on Saturday and Sunday at the track. It was not only the Trans Am series, which consists of the Trans Am, the Trans Am 2, Trans Am 3, and Trans Am 4 series, but it was also the Formula 4 series that was competing there, which is the, as it states, the FIA ladder series. They're all Honda-powered cars. They're incredibly powerful. They're pretty cool. They go from a standing start, so they have that nice roar as they're getting ready to hit the green light there. And it's pretty awesome to watch them go around the track. However, the Formula 4 series is an entry-level series. It's the next step up from people in the karting series, so I wouldn't be surprised if Jason Alder himself actually did consider racing in the Formula 4 series. I'll actually contact his father sometime soon and suggest that. But it was a pretty good race. It was a, although they were a little crazy going around there. And what I mean by crazy is that it was only a 30-minute timed event, and the event ended up with most of it being run under caution. Now, that's not exactly the best way to run an event like that, but it is a learning series, and the power is insane. The power-to-weight ratio is pretty cool. So it's kind of neat when you look at it that way. And it is part of racing to have those sort of events now and again. But it was a pretty neat race. In addition to the Formula 4 series, as I stated, the Trans Am series was also competing there. The Trans Am race was won by Gar Robinson. People might recognize the name Gar Robinson. He has been on this program before. He represents Robinson Racing. He also races. His teammate is Shane Lewis. Lewis, as everyone probably knows in South Florida, is a local guy competing in sports cars all over the world. Lately, he's been competing in the Ferris series, as was mentioned a few weeks ago when we had Jesse Gross on the program. We also got to spend a few minutes chatting with Adam Andretti. Now, as most of you can understand, Andretti is the name in motorsports, and Adam Andretti is part of that family. He races with limited support from Andretti Autosport, but most of it's just him and his crew there. He does have fun. He was talking about the importance of an H pattern in racing, although he did understand that transmissions such as that generally are not the safest thing for some motorsports. He mentioned in particular a race he was at where Brian Herta ended up with the transmission going through his leg and into his man parts, as he stated, and that's not the best thing to happen. As we talked to James Hinchcliffe before last season, and I've replayed that a few times in the past year, James Hinchcliffe had a similar incident with the transmission part. Actually, it was one of the suspension parts that went through his leg and nearly cost him his life. So racing is inherently a dangerous sport, but Andretti was really, really interested in the Trans Am series. He was a very personable young man. He definitely has the longer hair, which isn't really a traditional racing deal, unless you're Kyle Petty, of course. But it was pretty cool to talk to Andre for a few minutes. It was also awesome to wander around the track, because the track was totally open for that thing. In fact, when I first drove in, I could have actually driven onto the track, and there wouldn't have been anybody there to stop me. because they had some gates open. It was kind of cool. But you get to wander around the paddock and talk to the people. And if you haven't been to a Trans Am race, especially a Trans Am race that is not televised, I'd highly recommend it. It is an awesome series. And the Trans Am series hopefully will continue on. They do have a lot more sponsors this year than they had in the past. And that's a good thing. They have a lot more drivers competing as well. A lot more competitors. As I stated, we're probably about 1,000 people there at the track, which holds an awful lot more than that. If you've been to Homestead Miami Speedway, you know it's a fairly large facility. But all they had open for this race was the infield and the grandstands there along Pitt Road that are used for the VIP seating, basically, for the Ford Championship weekend. You can also tell the track has some issues now. It's starting to show its age. It is a little bit more than 20 years old. And it's got some issues. The weather isn't very kind there in Miami, in the Homestead area. And it needs a little bit of a paint job, needs some concrete work. The seats definitely need to be redone because they're starting to get a little corroded. But it is a pretty cool track. And if it was closer to the house, instead of being like 100 miles away, if it was like as close as even the Palm Beach International Raceway, it'd be pretty cool to hang down there a little bit more than we do. We are planning on visiting the track a few more times this season, and I'll definitely keep you abreast of what's going on there. Although this past weekend was the Barrett-Jackson Auto Auction. As I mentioned last week briefly on the program, the Barrett-Jackson Auto Auction took place on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the South Florida Fairgrounds. Now, anyone who's interested in Barrett-Jackson, you'll know that it is the 15th year of the event, but this is the first year that they've had it on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. In the past, it has been held on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, it was a pretty cool event. I didn't spend a lot of time there this weekend. I did only go on Saturday. There were quite a few people there, but wasn't as many as there have been in the past. Indeed, you could tell. But it was pretty neat. The manufacturer displays from Ford, Chevy, and Dodge were there. And that's always kind of neat to look at that. They could see what the future is. They did have a 2018 Dodge Viper there, so that was kind of cool. I didn't actually think that they were still manufacturing the Vipers because they did in their motorsports program last year. But it is kind of neat to wander around there and look at the new cars. They also have, of course, the auction cars. It is one of the largest car shows here in the state of Florida, and that's basically what it is. You kind of wander around and look at the cars, and if you have the money, you can register to be a bidder and go ahead and bid on your favorite cars either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. It seemed like Thursday and Friday were the best deals. Saturday was a bigger money day. I'm sure that Thursday was actually the best day to go out there, but they didn't have as much coverage on Thursday. I did watch a little bit of it, as I mentioned last week. So that's kind of neat. So you can get some pretty good deals there. I did actually post two videos of the Barrett-Jackson auction. It kind of gives you an insight into some of the cars on display there in the tents, as well as the ride-along options they had both for Ford, Chevy, and Dodge, their supercars. So you might want to check that out. You can check it out on the Palm Beach Happening YouTube page. So I'd advise you go to the best way to get to it. The best way is to go to Twitter, which is go to twitter.com/PBHappening, and you'll find the two videos I posted there from Barrett-Jackson. They were actually posted today onto Twitter, so they're right near the top of the tweets thing there. So I invite you to check that out. The videos actually did come out halfway decent. It's like about a 20-minute video or so of the tents. That's kind of neat. It gives you at least an idea of what the cars are there. I did stop and take pictures of some of the cars. Also, if you follow me on again on Palm Beach Happening, if you follow the Twitter page there, you can look further down and see some of the pictures. Some of the cars there, Barrett-Jackson auction. So that was kind of neat. It was my little weekend in the world of motorsports this past weekend. Of course, you know that the NASCAR was racing in Texas this past weekend, and we'd like to congratulate Jimmy Johnson on his victory there at Texas. He hasn't won there before, I don't believe, so it's pretty cool to have him win there. I believe he's on his way to his 8th championship. And I also think this might be his last year. I did say that last year, of course, but I'm thinking it's possible. There's also been some talk in the IndyCar world this week that Fernando Alonso will be competing at Indianapolis for the Indy 500 race. He'll be skipping out on Monaco, which is, of course, one of the storied events in the Formula One schedule, to compete at Indianapolis for the Indianapolis 500-mile race. He'll also have his crew there to come out and pit the car. So that's kind of interesting that they're bringing the McLaren crew to pit the car. And that'll be something. That's been widely discussed on the internet. I didn't post about it this week yet. I might post about it tomorrow. It really depends on my schedule tomorrow, but I am going to have an abbreviated schedule tomorrow as well. We are heading out of town for Easter, so I hope all of you have a wonderful festive Easter weekend. But it should be kind of neat to see how Alonso does, and it might be a forebearer of things to come with McLaren. Might be the next manufacturer of IndyCar. I don't know that for a fact. I don't have any little birdies or whispering in my ear or anything. But that is a possibility, so you might want to check that out and see. So that's kind of something. Also, in Long Beach this past weekend, they had the IMSA cars out there, and they were competing in the Petron Championship. So we'd like to congratulate Ricky Taylor and the entire Wayne Taylor Racing Konica Minolta team, who won in their Corvette. That is their third victory in that car this season of three races. So that's kind of cool, too. There's also a little bit of controversy at the end of that race as as Robert Alon, one of the drivers of the Lexus car, was put on probation for 3 weeks for aggressive driving because he did cause a major accident at the hairpin turn there. So that's kind of something. There was also an incident during the Pirelli World Challenge race on Saturday where they had a little bit of a flooding issue from a fire hydrant in Long Beach that put several inches of water down on the track. Now, that is an issue that they run into now and then with the nature of street courses. So they were able to quickly stop the race. They had to get the problem fixed and extended the race on a little bit. It wasn't its full length, of course, but they did have to finish the race there. So that was kind of weird. There's always a little bit of weird things that happen at racing. So there you go. Talking about last week again, we did have an issue last week where we had thought that we had Gus Dean confirmed to be on the program. Gus Dean, who's been the Car Series and the ARCA Series. Now we have had another confirmation. We contacted the promoter. We had a little bit of a back and forth there, and his personal representative. We had a little bit of back and forth, but we got it figured out now. And we believe that he'll be scheduled on the show in 2 weeks, which is on April 27th at about 8:15 p.m., something like that. It might end up being a little bit later, might end up being a few minutes earlier. But we're hoping to have him on as one of the early guests on the show on April 27th. So be sure to tune in for that. Gus Dean, he's a young up-and-coming driver. He had a really good week at Nashville. He did not finish as well as he hoped, of course, but he did have a good week there, and we're hoping that he'll have a pretty good week at Salem, which is the race taking place after he's on the program on the 27th. That'll be the weekend of the 29th when he's going to be at Salem for the race there. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that and a few other things. We're always looking for guests to come on this program. We have a lot of openings. Sometimes we have a lot of people scheduled. Other times we do not. This time of year kind of gets a little thin. We do a lot of feelers out, and I'm going to go ahead and put out another one. So if you're interested in being on Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, be sure to contact either myself or Michael Mullally. You can check for it on the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder Facebook page. That's the easiest way to contact us. Or you can contact me through Twitter or through my email address, which is also listed on speedwaydigest.com in the racing news section. So I hope that I hear from at least a couple of you. I'm always looking for people to talk to share their love of motorsports with the world. Let's go ahead and listen to a song from Ron Pestana and the Pit Crew for a moment here. Let's go to Victory Lane. Once again, that was Ron Pestana, Pit Crew with Victory Lane. You can go ahead and download that online at the, I believe it's on iTunes, so check that out. As I stated earlier, this is going to be a little bit of an abbreviated show this weekend, so we're going to go ahead and cut it off now. It's only been about 20 minutes, but 20 minutes is just about good enough for tonight. So be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. You can check out the racing news section this week. We did a lot of articles this week, posted a few interviews with some Formula One personalities from Haas F1, so be sure to check that out. There's also a few other articles about some sports car things. I did a review of the Trans Am race, which was pretty awesome this past weekend. So be sure to check out the racing news section of SpeedwayDigest.com. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, PB Happening. So be sure to do that. As I stated, I've got a bunch of new videos coming up this week about Barrett Jackson, so be sure to check that out. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome as we once again discuss the major issues in the world of modern auto racing. Have a nice night, happy Easter, and we'll talk to you next week.